into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to the fourth season of Showtime's original Homeland. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey. Joining me today is...
Hey guys, I'm Lexi Hamisfar.
And my name is Nando Velasquez. Hello everybody.
Yeah, so we're in week four, episode called Iron in the Fire, and we see why. Because Carrie and the crew are trying to really water this Ion guy to find out what's going on, what happened with the drone attack. Well, it wasn't a drone attack, actually.
No, they figured out at the end of the last episode that it was actually a murder. It was actually a plot to kill Sandy. And it was orchestrated by the ISI.
Yes, so they've got Ion, who was the only survivor of the attack. And...
Well, yeah, I mean, they got
Ion... He's the one that they've tracked and that they've made contact with.
Well, he was the only survivor of that attack.
I don't think he was the only survivor.
Was he not?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Are you sure? You guys can correct us, or correct
if
me.
If you remember from the first episode, he was rescued, and he was next to a man who I believe died. There were a lot of people who died, but I believe there were survivors, but he's the one we're following.
Okay.
He's the one we're following. Yes.
But for some reason, I could have swore they said he was the sole survivor of that.
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay,
so.
Okay, whatever. Whether or not he's the sole survivor or not, yes, we're trying to get down to the bottom of Sandy's murder. Mm-hmm. So,
well, definitely he's not the. We found out he's definitely not the sole survivor if somebody is alive that we discovered is alive. Hakani, hello, Hakani.
But we don't know if Hakani was actually there.
We're not sure if he was there or not, and they want us to believe that he was there. Obviously,
okay. My seat's sinking. Wow. It's really hard for me to make points. It's really hard for me. It's like I'm making these valid points and then I'm sinking. Which makes it seem like my points aren't that valid.
It's all good. But they discovered, obviously, they see that Farhad Ghazi is actually... Farhad Ghazi was actually on
Farhad
the site.
Ghazi.
Was actually on the site, and the mob killing of Sandy was actually orchestrated.
Yeah, he was the mysterious guy who threatened Ion at the end of the first episode.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, at the end of the second episode, I believe it was. He was the mysterious guy, and he was the one on site with the comm that was apparently orchestrating Sandy's death. The whole mob that killed Sandy.
Right. So now Carrie has actually... I don't know how she's convinced. She's so good at convincing Quinn to do her whatever.
Because he loves her.
At her beck and call.
Because all of a sudden he loves her. Now Blade's not in the picture, and now he realizes he has feelings for her. I think it's a little too orchestrated. You kind of want to see it happen a little bit.
No, I don't want to see it happen necessarily. There's so much sexual tension that I almost want them to hook up and be like, okay, let's move past this. Like, let's get on.
Just get it over with. Just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Well, then it's so obvious that he has, feelings for her. I mean, even Darth the doll, Darth comes to, I said Darth, what is the Star Wars?
You said Darth,
It's like he comes
I know, to, it's your first week back.
Right, so I'll get back in the swing.
I see that. It's a little rust. Right. It's a little ring rust.
Right. But he actually, everybody sees it. He gets caught on his stuff, you know, so dude, get your head out of your butt. If you're either going to get back to work, I mean, they actually don't even want him to fall off the map. They're going to have to put him through some kind of retraining. They mentioned last episode if he decides that he actually wants to go on this path.
Well, according to his conversation with Carrie later on in this episode, it sounds like he's just one psyche eval away from, or no, one polygraph test away from leaving. So he's leaving after
I don't
this.
Think he's actually going to leave, though.
No, he's actually not going to leave. What's really funny is he's back, and she begs him, please, please, please. And we see that he's back by her side and assisting him. I think this guy should just disappear somewhere. He actually has the capability and the means and the skills to actually disappear if he wants to, but he actually hasn't made quite a decision. He's kind of gone to this rut, but now he's back by Carrie's side. Helping him. I mean, what do you guys think about how this is gonna?
I mean, I think that's the point. Like, if he, my chair is sinking down now too. But
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If he wants to disappear, he can. But he's choosing not to, and he's choosing to go back into, you know, the battleground, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, he was thinking. Everybody's like, we're fighting.
If you're watching this on streaming right now, it's comical. We're like little Oompa Loompas right now.
I like squat.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep my posture up.
Right. Hold yourself up.
Yes.
So, with this Redmond guy who actually thought he was going to be the new station chief, his bubble has like been like busted because Carrie comes and takes over. So she can't really like trust him.
Well, yeah, I mean, we see at the beginning of the episode when Carrie is looking through the ISI agents that at least the CIA knows, trying to find who that this mysterious person is.
Right.
And Redmond comes in and notices the screen grab. Even though she's trying to keep everything protected, apparently he sees the screen grab that she had from YouTube from the video.
Yeah.
And just says automatically, it's Farhad Ghazi. And he knew right away, and he gave her all this information. But at the same time... He still, I mean, the big question here is, I mean, he gave it up so willingly, especially when it's just so obvious he doesn't like her from the last episode. She took his spot.
Right.
He was even driven to drink. You know, he was kind of drunk on the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question is, like, is he setting her up? Is this something he knows? I mean, he also expressed that he knew about the tunnel that Sandy used in the first episode.
Yeah.
So I really am questioning, like, how much he really knows about Sandy's deal and what he's, you know, what his interests are in this case.
Right. I mean, how much intelligence is he just really withholding?
Yes.
I feel like he's probably holding a good amount because he was so quiet and he's got so much resentment towards Carrie because she's digging so hard to figure out what's actually going on.
And he's following her. He's got agents following her.
Yeah, he's got a detail on her to find out what's going on, where is she at, because you guys are supposed to be on the same team, obviously, and they're obviously not on the same team. It's like all these, you know, personal interests going on.
I mean, he's got a good excuse, like, for protection, and even though, you know, even not letting her know about it, just to watch her back. But, yeah, you know there's something shady behind the whole thing. You just know it.
I mean, maybe they're setting it up where he actually turns out to be really...
A good guy,
but it's the whole he can't stand now he has two female bosses as opposed to one.
What's the problem with female bosses?
I think maybe he has an issue with it.
Oh, okay. The ambassador's kind of cool. Although she seems to have her own problems. Yeah, she has her own problems that we'll get into, but
I think Redmond might have a problem with it, though.
Oh, okay.
That's what it kind of seems like. He may have a problem with it. Or maybe it's an age thing, too. Carrie seems to be younger than this guy. Maybe he's paid more dues, and now it's his turn to take over, and he has an issue with it.
Well, yeah, she looks younger than him, and, you know, obviously she kind of went around his head to get the spot, run around, you know, whatever protocol it was by getting Lockhart to, you know, like kind of blackmailing Lockhart, although Redmond doesn't know about it.
She asked nicely. My butt.
Exactly.
Of course, everybody knows that Carrie has a way of getting her way.
But yeah, I mean,
every time.
But obviously, based on his shiftiness, I mean, even if it seems like he's doing all the right things, helping her out a little bit here, you know, you can't really trust anyone at the embassy at all.
Right.
But I don't really see an ulterior motive for him giving her that information that he was an ISI and that he's local. You know, I don't see how he could be leading her into a trap that way because she's trying to track him. So what negative could come out of giving her the name?
Here's the other thought. Well, I was going to say here's the other thought. I mean, we find out later on, you know, we're jumping around a little bit by saying this. We found out later on when they were staking him out and watching over him that they got made or somebody, you know, told him pretty much to get out of there.
Plus, obviously, he obviously has his own intelligence.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just kind of baiting her to actually gather some intelligence, which is why he's got a detail on her to so he can actually piece together what she finds and then what he already knows.
Well, the spy game's an information game. So obviously, yeah. I guess at the very least, Redmond gave her some information expecting to figure out exactly what she's up to.
Yeah.
And he might realize that she's more cunning at this than he is, but if he can crack the puzzle mm-hmm. quicker than she can, then he can prove that he should be in charge and not her.
So you think he's playing the corporate ladder game?
Maybe. I don't know.
He might be.
Angle.
He very well might be playing the corporate angle game as well because, mm-hmm. you know, he's
just trying to get fired.
He's trying to prove that he should be in that spot.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely butthurt about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, now he has to be. Who wouldn't be?
I
think anybody would. I mean, he's over there working, and the next thing you know, she comes over and she's like, "You didn't get my cable," kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm running things now, kind of sort of speak. So anyway, Saul is poking around.
Yeah, she got Saul. After she wanted him out the door. And his bags are practically packed, and she calls him back in for a favor.
And she didn't want to have to ask for anything.
But she did. Well, but now this is a different thing, and this is major. The fact that Sandy was murdered, mm-hmm. the fact that it was an agent. And Saul even told her, said, just give it to Langley. They should know. But, you know, that's not good enough for her, because she knows eventually everything will be thrown under the rug, and nothing will get solved. It'll just be all buried in political bureaucracy.
How important do we feel that Sandy's murder is going to turn out to play in this whole picture or this whole thing to begin with?
I think it's going to be a pretty big deal.
I mean, based on some of the things that we learned about this episode, I think. Like, you know, this new woman that we see.
Yes.
You know, the one that's getting Professor Boyd, the ambassador's husband, who we just met for the first time this episode, too, played by Mark Moses, a
Professor
big character.
Backboneless Boy. That's what we're going to call him.
Yeah. Mark Moses, who's been on, like, just about every single TV show.
Right.
So, he's very, very familiar face.
Do you think that we'll find out something about Sandy that is not all too up and up? I mean, remember those shady text messages, and then...
Well, I think it's I think it's already not in the up and up that we've now heard from this mysterious woman, Tasneem, that he was giving away classified documents straight from the ambassador's desk through her husband.
I feel like the girl, is probably ISI. But, like, the bad side of ISI.
She has, like, an agent, like an official agent type of feel to her.
Yeah, you know? And even saying like that she can, like, protect, but at the same time, she's got enough influence that she can ruin his life with the FBI and the Pentagon.
Yeah.
If he doesn't listen to her.
Right.
So she definitely feels like she's part of the ISI. Just some kind of, like,
You think she might be from
like
ISI?
Some kind of, well, just, she's obviously from some kind of agency. She feels like, kind of like a government agent of some sort, you know? Like, you know, whatever version of, I guess ISI is the version of like the FBI. So
I mean, Haqqani how they operate is somewhat official.
But just the way, I mean, even
it's very structured.
Her outfit, the two guys she had, like, backing her up that were, like, you know, that were keeping Boyd in toward the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. The fact, like you said, the fact that she said, you know, all you have to do is this and you'll be protected. You can leave with no questions asked. The FBI won't, you know, CIA, FBI, no one will ever know. You know, I just felt like that was very, you know, your wife will never know. Otherwise, we'll blackmail you.
It doesn't seem like Boyd, maybe Boyd's not really clear on who he's been disseminating information to now, based on this news.
I guess not, because he was giving the information to Sandy for whatever reason. Who knows what story Sandy gave? Because when she confronted him in class, in his lecture afterwards, mm-hmm. he was kind of surprised at first, you know, when she said she knew Sandy, his ears perked up a little bit, right. But until she actually said, you know, I benefited from our friendship because he was giving away the classified documents you were taking from the ambassador's table, that's when he freaked out. And it freaked him out enough to lie about getting a job at George Washington University, at GW.
Right.
You know, to try and get out of town because he knew he was in deep mm-hmm. doo-doo.
I mean,
you know?
Obviously, do you really think you're going to be able to, like, get out of the country now all of a sudden? When somebody comes to you, you're already doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
You're providing a service.
Dude,
they're tracking him.
Right.
He's so entitled, though. You saw when she had him in the office at the end, he's like, "I demand a phone call." You know, we're all joking, like, "I'm an American in Pakistan. I deserve rights." It's like, no.
I thought he was going to ask for an attorney his Miranda rights. My Miranda rights weren't read to me.
You have not read my Miranda rights.
Really, bro?
I'm free to go.
Yeah. You held me for 24 hours. I'm allowed to leave now. Like, he really tried to run, too, knowing two goons were standing behind him. Like, you really, where do you think you're going?
Well, right. Yeah,
Lexi's entitled. Like, I can't believe he tried to do
He's
that.
Like, good day.
Yeah,
good,
who does that?
Good day, ma'am. Turns around, they punch him in the gut. I said good day.
Right. I'm glad
trying
that.
To leave. Trying to leave, but you won't let me. Good day.
He's such a putz. Anyway, yeah. I love how Farrah has, like, actually been, like, incorporated into the investigation, and she's like on stakeout with Max, and
she is
stuff.
Bad to the bone this season. Yeah. I love her.
Well, that the you know last week when she kind of fudged up the was it last week I think when she fudged up that meeting yeah. with Ayan, you know, she was a little nervous, but you know now it's like it's getting hot in the kitchen pretty much, and she's just like, let me get out there and handle it.
Yeah, she's not a field operative at all by trade.
No, she didn't start out that way.
I hate to say this, but she's the one who blends in the most, so it's easiest for her to go undercover because no one's going to be like, who's the blonde American?
Yeah, right. Max can't do the same thing. Yeah, Max can't come out there.
It's so funny, though, how the irony behind that, because she's kind of like uncomfortable even though she blends in. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie's just like so comfortable and just like walks around and she just throws a wrap on and the blonde hair is just sticking out. It's like,
and she's like sheltering her face.
Right, right. Like, you would be spotted in a second, obviously. You know, you stick out, right? Even though with the wrap, you know you're not blending in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, kind of, sort of. But what's so funny is I like when Redmond's detail came back and reported to him how she was really that good at slipping.
Well, we saw a little bit about that. I believe it was last week. We saw a little bit of her escaping the ISI agents.
Right.
There were like two of them.
Right.
You uh-huh. know? And she was like, remember with the kids?
She was
giving money to the kids and all that. So
she's good. I mean, she had her security guys drop her off somewhere. She gives the kids some money. She slips that guy. So she's just like, it's like second nature to her. Like,
this isn't her first rodeo either.
Right, of course. But I like how they reinforce her talent level of being a spy, besides just the fact that she can actually run an operation.
And you probably have to think even a little bit, like, you know, Redmond hearing this, you know, it's kind of like, kind of pisses him off even more.
Yeah,
it's like,
of course.
She's got my job and she apparently can escape my tails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she's well-rounded, I feel like. She knows how to protect herself. Mm-hmm. She watches behind her back, and she, you know, she set up the second location that he doesn't know about. She knows what she's doing.
Speaking of protecting herself, I hope she did that with Ayan.
No! Ayan.
Is it Ayan or Ayan?
I'd say Ayan. You're making it sound like Ayan, like an ion. Like an ion.
Like an ion. Like an iron that's in the... Oh,
no, but it's...
No, like a molecule.
Like a molecule.
Oh, like an ion.
Yes.
We're going back to like ninth grade chemistry right now.
Ayan. I guess so. Ayan. Is it Ayan?
Yes.
Ayan.
That's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
So...
It's okay.
We're trying to get Ayan to... Farrah actually kind of... She screwed up that whole trying to...
She screwed it up, but Carrie made up for it and
she did.
Flirted with him. And,
He's very, how skittish he is like really annoying.
Yeah. Mm. He's very paranoid about something.
So what's going, I mean, now it's making me wonder, like, why so nervous, especially if,
well, I mean, here's the
Hakani
thing.
Hakani is still alive and
I
now
think because he's been trying to cover up this entire time that his uncle, the most powerful, like, terrorist.
Well, he was the number four on the most wanted list, if I remember correctly, from the first episode.
A very powerful terrorist.
Yeah, number four up.
Yeah.
Very powerful. So, yeah, I guess trying to cover it up. I mean, he had all this medicine that he may or may not have stolen from the university pharmacy. You know, that obviously the university thinks that he did because of Kieran's dad, of his little girl/friend, not really girlfriend, but little friend that's a woman.
Kieran can't be trusted.
Yeah, well, no, Kieran, I think, was the more trustable one. It's the family, because the family just doesn't want her to be involved with someone who associates with a known terrorist.
But he was supposed to hide the bag,
it's a family member.
Yeah, it's a family member.
She was supposed to hide the bag for him.
Yeah,
so
but the father found out.
That's what I'm saying. Just because somebody has good intentions, it still doesn't.
You got a teenage daughter. You're probably checking out everything she's doing. Anything a little sly or whatever. Who knows? Maybe he's reading
your
diary. I can
tell you, my dad, when I was a teenager, he knew everything I was doing.
Yeah,
so.
Really.
You need to have a daughter.
No, I don't. I don't need to have a daughter.
But yeah, I mean, obviously he was pissed off when Ayan showed up. And even said he reported them to the university. So he pretty much, like, ruined his life.
Right.
Over there. So, yeah, even more reason for him to go to Carrie with the promise that he was going to be going to London, going to a new school, to the Royal Medicine, you know.
And ask for the 80,000 rupees. He, you know.
Which is about, we figured it out, right?
You said
it's 500 pounds is about like $750, $800, I think.
Something
like that.
Yeah. It's like,
okay, I trust
you. Close to double or more than double.
I think it's close to double, if not more.
Close to double.
Yeah.
American dollars.
Yeah.
So apparently he goes back to, was it Karen that actually went and got the medicine for him?
No.
Who was the friend?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, just some nurse.
Just some nurse that I guess he knew from a teaching school.
Okay.
And she was the one who ended up getting the medicine for him.
And he sleeps outside overnight, outside of this place.
Guess he had to wait his turn. So she made him wait.
Whatever this mission is really important, obviously, as we see.
Yeah.
I have a prediction for this at the end.
Well, I just want to say, speaking of predictions, I just want to say I did get it right from week one that Hassani was not dead. That the medicine
Hassani Haqqani?
I'm sorry, it's Hussein Haqqani.
Hussein Haqqani. Okay.
The Haqqani wasn't dead. I actually predicted that that medicine was for him. So, but I also said, but here's the other thing. Here's where I know I'm wrong now. I also said it's because he might turn. Because he would have information and perhaps the terrorist wanted to get rid of him for some reason. But now it looks like they were just trying to cover up his death so that he could plot his terrorist attack.
His comeback.
Yeah.
Tour.
His comeback tour, right. Whatever his big thing is.
But that medicine might not be for Haqqani. It could be for Haqqani, who's feeding it to someone else higher up.
I guess that's true, because he's still walking around. He's not desperately sick or something.
Well, you know, I mean, but cancer patients I guess that's still true. Walk around.
Mm, that's true, too.
But we got to find
like
out.
We gotta he should find be out. In a wheelchair.
Yeah, we got to find out what kind of medication it is. I guess that's the
testosterone medicine, I think. Okay. And my dad texted me before the show, actually, and he said that when you have prostate cancer, you get testosterone therapy as part of your treatment. And so that could be what he has if it's an illness, is that he has prostate cancer and his nephew is getting, you know, the medicine that he needs.
Hmm.
But it could also be someone higher up.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be a bartering. It could be something to barter with somebody even higher up to get something else. Who knows what? So, but it is kind of odd because, well, I guess, you know, I guess Haqqani can't just walk into any pharmacy and ask for medicine. I guess he needed his nephew for this, but I just,
right.
It still felt, I don't want to say it felt easy to get, but it did still seem like, yeah,
well,
let me just make a deal with a nurse and wait outside for a day, for a night, and then get it back and get it in the morning. It's like he didn't have to do that.
But if you've got a nephew in medical school,
yeah,
right. He knows the ropes to get the medicine that, you know, he needs or wants, just like any college kid, really.
Right.
Okay. I suppose. I mean, I guess there's still some questions about this, but I still feel like, and perhaps maybe it's harder to get that kind of medicine than I realize, but it's just a little interesting.
Because well, they have access. They want to do it. Obviously, in the facility, they got easy access to it.
I mean, this guy's number four on the most wanted list, I would think that, and he has apparently an entourage of machine gun wielding, you know.
But guys, it's not like any of those guys can go run, you know, their credit card somewhere because okay. I'm sure all of them are on a list.
Got
so it.
It
makes sense that the innocent nephew is going to go get the medicine.
Got it. Okay.
Because he's unsuspecting.
All right. Fair enough.
That works.
Fair enough.
If you guys have any opinions about what's going on or any questions or you guys want to correct us on anything that we're errant about, you guys can give us a call here at 424-253-0504, 424-253-0504 here for Homeland. So what I'm liking how they're making Saul relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And even though he's not really official for any of this, obviously, he's obviously has a lot of weight because...
Well, Carrie wants him because he has connections out there.
Yes.
And he's talking to the general in that what looks like, I guess, that little club. That exclusive club,
right.
That no American has set foot in since the attack,
yes.
The attack there recently, or some, I don't know
the
when it was.
The Mbalabad attack.
The Mbalabad, was it? Attack, which
so
I'm not sure when
bin
it was.
Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was for bin Laden. So there you go. So no American has stepped in since then. Oh wow, that's even a bigger deal then. So everyone's talking and this general guy's kind of cool. He's just like, yeah, I'd love to talk. Screw him.
Right.
Let's just hang out.
He
likes being a rebel.
Right.
Call me Bonnie.
You guys have Bunny.
Bunny.
A bunny. Bunny, even worse.
Bunny.
Yeah,
it
Bunny.
Is, I don't know, it's weird, but.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a stripper name or something. I don't know. And no offense to any strippers out there that really like this show, because you like Bunny.
I didn't realize you offended them.
Right. It's like, they might be watching like, why are you saying bunny? No, I'm bunny.
But anyway, yeah.
So it's just funny how he's like going in like low key. Well, not even low key. He's like, look, I got credit with you. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, you're not even in the game anymore. Are you still in the game?
Like, well, I like that this official, this general, first of all, he said 911 was a hoax. We all know it's a hoax.
Right.
You know, and Saul is like, I can't believe someone from your position and your knowledge actually believes that piece of crap, that pile of crap. You know, they're having this little argument about whether 9/11 is a hoax or not. And then he pretty much says,
and how he said it was like so matter of fact, yeah, and like it was really funny.
He just threw it away. We all know it's a hoax. Yeah. Right. We all know.
Right.
And then even toward the end, when he still didn't want to give that information, and he said, I don't know what you're doing. You lost already. You know, US has to pull out of Afghanistan. The Taliban won. They get their own terms.
Yeah.
You guys lost. And then he's even like, well, then you shouldn't mind giving me a little bit of gratitude, you know,
which is true.
Yeah.
So he actually worked at like a salesman.
He worked. Yeah. He didn't get that upset. Like I think any of us, like, you know, I unless you really believe 9/11 is a hoax, which I don't know anyone who really does. But I think any of us would have pushed some buttons what he was saying.
It did happen. I am bin Laden is dead. He also said that we know bin Laden's actually not dead, which, what?
Right. Well, you know what was really funny about that line too, saying that, you know, saying 9/11's a hoax is like saying bin Laden's alive, still alive or whatever.
Right.
But here we go, seeing an operation where a known terrorist was presumed dead.
Yeah, but we have bin Laden's body.
No, we do. But I still thought that line was very ironic.
But we don't have Hakani's body.
Yeah, considering that Hakani's still alive. That's all.
He's walking dead somewhere.
That's another show, guys.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So, who was the guy that actually, see, I missed this part. See, this is why it's fun, because you guys get to like, we're actually really just watched the show. Who's the guy? Okay, so he met with the general, he's in the restaurant, and then these Secret Service type guys clear out the restaurant,
yeah,
except for Saul. It was really funny to me. He notices all this going on, and he just sits there. I think if it was like Quinn or somebody, they would have pulled out their gun with a silencer, like, okay, what's going on? Who's about to, you know?
Yeah, well,
could pop in here.
It's possible he knew. It's possible he knew what they were doing.
Right.
Or that he knew that the meeting was at that time.
That he knew there was the meeting. That's what I mean.
Do you know who this... He's one of the higher-ups, obviously, but...
We didn't get a name. Who knows if we'll see him again. Or a position. But
I feel like we'll see him again.
But he really didn't disseminate anything useful.
No.
Well...
He got mad.
He did. Yeah. But that's how you know maybe Saul's onto something.
Exactly.
When he's pushing those buttons.
And I feel like whoever that man is, maybe he actually did give the order to kill Sandy.
It's possible.
Because that's what Saul accused him of when he got mad.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see him again. I mean, we might see him again. I don't know. But I think that was important just because it kind of gave Saul any confirmation that, yeah, maybe there's something going on here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I see.
Well, it's going to be definitely interesting to see how Saul's role in this whole situation plays out because, I don't know, his wife is ready to move to New York, right?
His wife did move to New York. They were in New York. They're just trying to find a place on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
But it's a struggling marriage.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been struggling for...
It's still struggling.
For the entire series.
Well, it had a bright spot at the end of last season, but it looks like it's struggling again. And it's definitely not doing any good the more Saul stays out there in Pakistan.
Well, he's just itching to get back in on the action. He hates the private sector, so... Mm.
It's like a drug, just like Quinn was talking about. It's like a drug. To be a part of it.
Yeah. He's a company man. He loves it. He wants to be out there.
It's like, what the heck? Talking about drugs, I think Carrie is... I don't know. How do you guys feel about... Sorry, guys.
What do you
I don't know. Carrie is just a hot mess, as like we like to call it. A hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has lured this poor young boy into her lair. So, I thought she was going to use Farrah to do it, to be honest with you, at first.
No.
I think when she did the bathroom scene, it was like, okay, this is going to be Carrie who does the seduction.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, it's funny because after the bathroom scene, you see this long shot of her looking at the mirror, and pretty much this seduction scene started with her looking in the mirror first before she went out there to console him and talk to him. And, you know, she's got to distract him because she's got to keep him around for 2 days and obviously get him to admit that Hakani's still alive and, you know, use him as the stalking horse as she said.
All right.
As she said earlier in the episode.
She has to get him. She has to get into character, basically, yeah. by looking in the mirror.
But what I thought was interesting about Farrah, too, is that Farrah was like, so you're going to get his passport. You're going to get his passport and documents, right? And she's like, no.
Right.
She's like, no. And you could see Farrah, like, question that.
Yeah.
So.
But why would you send him out of the country when clearly he's, like, a huge lead, their only lead, besides... Well, that man.
Absolutely. No, I'm not disagreeing with Carrie. I'm just saying that Farrah has maybe a slight little change of, not change of heart, mm-hmm. but she's probably noticing that, oh wow, Carrie promised something and she didn't deliver.
Right.
You know, and don't forget, Farrah, out of all the characters on Homeland, Farrah has a personal connection to this region. She's from this region.
Yeah. Of course.
You know, she's seen firsthand the atrocities of the governments over there, the terrorists over there, you know, whatever goes on. So she, if anything, I think she doesn't want to lie to anybody, you know, to anybody out there because, you know, she's been in that region. She knows what it's like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, she definitely wants to, you know, protect, I think, her culture and anybody that comes from it.
Citizens.
Yeah.
And she's not the only one questioning. I mean, you know, you saw Quinn questioning Carrie earlier because Quinn was even questioning her about promising asylum. You know, about promising to get into London.
Right.
He's like, that's not an easy thing for you to do. You know, you can't probably do that.
Right.
So, and of course, if Quinn saw what Carrie was doing by the end of the episode, he'd probably even freak out more.
How do you guys feel about where Carrie is going as a character based on all the consciousness she has around her?
Hmm.
Like, how her moral compass seems to be
so
transforming.
Off.
Yeah.
I feel like she's spiraling out of control, kind of. Not in, like, the sense of everyday life, but in her sexual, romantic life, she kind of is.
Well, do you think that's just a manifestation of where she is morally,
maybe, but I think she knows.
Ethically.
I think she knows that Quinn has a weakness for her, and so she exploits that to get what she needs out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe it is because she's stuck overseas and she wants some action that she's taking advantage of Ion. But at the same time,
see, I don't necessarily agree that she believes that she's got like Quinn wrapped up around her finger. I think she still looks at him as a colleague. I feel that. You know, we saw her last season toward the beginning of last season when she was sleeping around. She was sleeping with that guy from the convenience store that looked a lot like Brody.
Mm-hmm, the redhead.
And you know, and you even said it while we were watching the show. It's like, you know, spies, we presume that spies sleep around to get the job done anyway.
Right.
So it's not really, you know, this might be shocking to us. Oh my God, especially after seeing her relationship with Brody.
Yeah.
You know, to see her throwing herself at this kid. You know, to try and keep him in town and to keep him distracted and to get information off of him. But, you know, this is something that perhaps other agents have done. You know, I think we if we look at it that way.
That's what they do.
And I feel like if she's willing to throw herself, if she's willing to throw herself around, I think she would throw herself around at Quinn. But I think she sees Quinn as a colleague and not as a relationship.
I don't think she sees him as a relationship, but I think.
I don't think she's playing him. That's what I mean, though.
I think that she sees a little bit of a weakness and that she can, because he was going through his exit stuff. He was almost out and she,
but she didn't know that till he talked about it.
Yeah. But right before she hung up the phone, she was like, but I love you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay. Maybe you may know more.
I just think from like a girl's point of view, you know how to manipulate a guy. I hate to say that, but you do.
Well, I'd love to hear your comments on YouTube about this or on iTunes about
this. She's definitely manipulating him.
But one thing about Carrie that I definitely noticed was she had a bit of a return to season one when Ghazi got that phone call about laundry and he started packing up and they realized that, you know, that they possibly have been made and he's exiting.
Yeah.
And she's like, we have to get him now. And Quinn was even like, no, it's not safe, but she was willing to go out there on her own.
Yeah.
You know, she had her backup, but she was going to order to go with her. But it was that old Carrie with Brody, like when Brody was about to get in trouble and she was defiant and she did not want to listen to anybody else's opinion or any logic. And she was, and you know, she got with that tone of voice, you know, she got really, really loud and indignant. And that was kind of a return to the old Carrie that was a bit unstable. So I think this is definitely the first episode where we really see people, especially the people around her, that she's known for a while.
Right.
She's questioning her again.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we can talk about a couple of things in predictions. I feel like we're going to go to predictions next because there's so many. We're kind of going towards what the potentials are going to be. Kind of. Do we have any news and gossip?
I actually, yeah, I found an interesting article.
So we have some news and gossip.
Okay, so I saw you guys, I'm sure you read the Washington Post article that came out that was getting, like, slammed. I think I told you about it.
Sure. From last week's.
It was about, basically, a writer said that there's so much bigotry in Homeland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're just slanting Pakistanis to look like terrorists all the time. Mm-hmm. And in a website called The Week, someone from Pakistan wrote an article that talks about the three horrific inaccuracies in Homeland's depiction of Islamabad. And I found one really interesting is that she says that Islamabad is actually a really beautiful city, which if you Google it, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if this is an outlying suburb or whatever we're seeing that makes it look like it's an actual third world country, but they filmed this in Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah.
So they went to huge extremes to make this look like it's a war-torn third world country. And I just thought that it was interesting, and she talks about that. But she says that it's not the hopeless maze depicted in Homeland. The city's actually planned along a grid divided into sectors with neatly arranged blocks and streets. This is something the writers could have ascertained from a cursory glance at Google Earth. So I think it's interesting that they're portraying...
Well, I have a thought about this. And if you look at it at any, if this is any city at all, whether it's in the Middle East or even the US or whatever, and you're doing a show that involves shady business, people like duplicitous people,
right,
you know, trying to stay under the radar and hide out, chances are they're going to be in the more seedy sides of town because that's the place where those kinds of people can thrive. You know, they're not going to be necessarily under your nose in the upper class neighborhoods in the more beautiful parts of town. You know?
Well, but at the same time, it's a seemingly realistic show. They talk about Bin Laden's death. Yeah. They talk about 9/11. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's realistic aspects to a fictional story in this. Why not make
Islamabad more real?
Yes.
Look more real. I'll give you that. But I still feel like, you know, like when Sandy, for example, was meeting, you know, was going to that place, you don't expect them to be going, like if this was New York City, you don't expect them to be going to like the Empire State Building or, you know, to the Upper East Side, some really ripped posh neighborhood to do this little secret meeting. You expect them to go to the Bowery. You expect them to go downtown somewhere, someplace seedy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say. It's a very cliche, you know, speaking in terms of a TV show, I feel it's very cliche that you would be doing some of these scenes, no matter what city you're in the bad parts of town. Now, if you're saying that Islamabad does not have any bad parts of town, then then it's probably realistic. But I, that's why I'm like willing to believe it. But I will say that obviously I've never seen a TV show talk about a city, about this city before.
Right, right.
So my impression of this city obviously is from what I'm seeing from Homeland. So I think that's a really awesome and amazing point. That if you're not aware, if you're just watching this and you're assuming, oh, so that's Islamabad, that you're picturing all the bad aspects of it. But again, it's like if they only did one movie or one TV show, again, of New York City, and all you saw was Alphabet City, you would think the whole city is Alphabet City.
Yeah, I mean, I get points of both arguments, because basically from that intellectual standpoint, that makes sense. But we don't know a whole lot about Islamabad in America, I don't think, in general. Mm-hmm. You know, so just to have that kind of media portrayal, and that's all we know, probably to compound with all the other media stigmas, that we have this stigma about that region of the world already, and it's not going to obviously reinforce the positive.
Well, and don't forget
images.
The hotel looks beautiful. The embassy area when she was jogging, that look. I mean, obviously there's a lot of guards and everything, but it still looked really nice. Where Saul was meeting his people, were all beautiful parts of town. So it's not all you know, it's not all bad. But the scenes that we're going to remember is the scene of Sandy getting killed on that street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the scene. When we think of that, we're going to keep thinking about that because they keep playing that over and over again. We're going to be seeing Carrie trying to get away from people in busy, you know, that one scene where you see all the traffic. I was thinking about that one scene where everyone's honking the horn and the traffic's stuck and everything when they were trying to follow Ayan. It's like, that's the very cliche, typical, like, Asian or Middle Eastern street where, everyone's going to market and everyone's yelling at each other and honking the horn and, you know, yelling at each other. Yeah, it's very cliche.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just
passionate about that.
I don't know
it's
why.
Cliche. Go ahead, Lexi.
And then the other aspect that I found really interesting was that they talked about the language and the accents that they use. And she said, and I realize that this is probably a very biased article, but at the same time, it was just interesting. She goes, imagine a show about New York City in which the native New Yorkers spoke English like the characters on Downton Abbey. And that's basically Whoa. How they view how people are speaking Urdu on the show. No,
they have a point there.
And she says, if Game of Thrones can hire a linguist to properly construct believable fictional languages like Valyrian, why can't Homeland hire somebody to check the basics of a real-world language?
Believable fictional languages.
Can hire a linguist I think it's just that they hire a ton of English actors, to play these parts, too. And they just assume, for some reason, it's not just Homeland, but there are other shows that they think they can let English accents get away with almost anything, they feel like.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
I mean, it is annoying. I agree. I mean,
I just thought it was, like, interesting to hear from.
Oh, no, I'm not denying it. I think it's true. I would love to see a more realistic depiction. I think there's a really good point there, too, especially with the accent. I was thinking about that, too, because even, like, the general had this nice British accent, and I'm not sure if that ISI agent did, too, but they all, I don't know what their accents are necessarily like, but there is a lot of English creeping up.
Sometimes, depending on the character.
Yeah.
And they say he's like a general, he's higher up. Oh, he has
Because he's
British,
an intellectual,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah. He's higher up. Maybe he's a little more educated.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But
apparently, the smarter you get, the more English you sound.
Right. The more westernized yes. you become, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whatever yeah. that means, right? brother. Okay. Is that it, Lex?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Cool. Let's go to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Okay, predictions. Showtime's original series, Homeland, season 4, episode 5. What do you guys think is coming up next
Thank you
week?
For that. Thank you for that. You know, I just think that, you know, whenever a promise is made, you know it can't be kept in this show.
Right.
So I think the promise that was made for Professor Boyd, nothing's going to happen to you if you just do this. I think he's going to die. I think Boyd's a goner.
Boyd's gonna die.
Boyd's a goner. I don't know if he's gonna be gone next episode, but fairly soon, I think he's gonna be gone.
You know what? I don't think he's gonna die.
You don't think so?
No, he's not enough of a.
Plus, he's a character actor. He's in on so many shows. He's probably
he
got
is,
booked on another
he's,
show.
He's, not,
he's probably booked on, you know, Once Upon a Time next week or something. You know, he's like, yeah, you're gonna have to kill me off.
Scandal.
So you gotta take
scandal.
That. You
he's
can take
scandal.
That into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
seen him on here. Seen him on. Like,
I think he's
booked on that.
He's
next week.
He's gonna be booked on some other show next week. He's gonna be gone.
I don't think his character is strong enough to get killed off.
You don't think so?
I think he doesn't have any backbone. They'll just use him and use him and use him, and you know, and that'll be that.
I think the key that the girl gave him has something to do with how long he's going to last on the show, because I kind of feel like she said this is the beginning and then him going there is going to be the end.
Because that's what happened with Sandy. That's how it started with Sandy.
Well, but I think the key's actually going to work.
Well, it's going to work at first until it doesn't work anymore. And then that's like the key. Like, we don't
They're not
going to
kill him off in the same way they killed Sandy, though. That doesn't even...
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But I still think that's very... That key just felt... I mean, just the camera angle, the way she gave it to him, it was so much symbolism in that key.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much symbolism in that key.
That
the way she said
a lot of work.
It, this is the beginning. What did she write? What did she say? Something like, this is the beginning of our relationship or something. Or this is how it starts. And I was like, and that's how it ended for Sandy. That's what I said. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about the whole Redmond thing. If he's going to be, you know, grow to be an increasing thorn in Carrie's ass, or he's going to become, I feel like it can go either way. He could either jump on her, you know, be actually a part of her team and just submit and, you know, be a part of the team and actually be that silver lining for her that mm-hmm. just kind of like pops out. Next thing you know, he really had her back the whole time, or it can go the other way. So I'm really curious to see how that's going to turn. It's not really a prediction. I'm not really sure where Redmond.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see where the writers are going to take that character and his relationship to this whole investigation.
Do you think Carrie's going to continue this fling with Ayan?
Yes.
I think it's going to last for as long as she needs it to last.
Because that was really awkward.
She'll cut it off.
Yeah.
We were definitely talking about how awkward it was in the beginning, and then it got pretty heated. So he's learning fast.
It's getting heated on her end, though.
Boy, you'll be a man soon.
He's definitely a virgin. So
yes.
It seems.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I just think that she is corrupting this young man.
Yeah. And then the other big question, I know you might want to talk about this, is that, you know, now that we didn't know that the ambassador was married, because we saw her flirting with Saul last week, and now we discovered that he's married.
Oh.
So I think this also, you know, getting rid of Boyd also sets up.
Well, we saw, I was showing him before we went on,
yeah.
There was a tweet from Homeland, and, you know, they show this parts of the script every week.
Yeah.
And it was Saul, and it goes, their eyes meet. And then he, what was it? It was like, comes he gets frozen, gets frozen as they, or he's frozen as they look at each other. And yeah. So it's like,
and we know it's gotta be the ambassador, right? So there's gotta be, you know, Saul's gonna get some action this season, it looks like. Not
well,
from his wife.
All I know is that Carrie better not get pregnant by Ayan. I'm gonna be mad.
Oh my God.
She's gonna be like an Angelina Jolie.
She doesn't need another kid that she tries to drown.
Aw. That's pretty bad.
But it's true. She can't handle
it's
it.
It's true. Bad. No, I don't mean like that. It is bad.
Okay.
That was a bad thing.
All right, guys. Where can we find you guys till next week?
You can find me on all social media at Lexi Hamasfar.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, NANDOVEL. And you can find me here on some other shows like Walking Dead coming up next.
And you can find me on all social media at Club Thaddeus. Until next time, After Buzzers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.